I went into studying paranormal researchers because I wanted a project I could work with undergraduate students on. And I can't really take undergraduate students to Nigeria right now. It's a very difficult place to work.
Right.
But when I started working with paranormal researchers, I began to feel like it wasn't a whimsical project, a project at all, that in fact I thought it was a very serious project and a project that's much in line with work I've previously done on the anthropology of religion.
Was there a certain incident or something that convinced you it wasn't whimsical?
The way anthropologists work is not by incident. The way anthropologists work is by a sort of accumulation of activities, experiences, understandings. And it wasn't very long after I started working in what we call participant observation mode, where we both participate, which means we do what the people we're studying do, and observe at the same time. Once I started doing participant observation with paranormal researchers, I found that what we were doing was, well, spirit communication, amongst other things. And that was what I was truly interested in and have always been interested in my entire career. And I realized I was dealing with serious people who are very interested and passionate in their own work, and I wanted to know more about how they got so passionate. And it stopped being a sort of one-off moment where I'll just do a quick paper on paranormal researchers, perhaps for a popular culture conference or something. And I started to think that, no, I wanted to really work with these people as people who are really questing and trying to understand their place in the world, their place in other worlds, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've spent a lot of time with these researchers. What are some of the characteristics that define them?
The one that's going to surprise the listeners the most is skepticism. They're extraordinarily skeptical people. They're not people who just believe the first thing that happens. They're very empirical, which is to say that they do empirical research. They try to understand and get evidence for anything that they want to sort of promulgate to us. And they're very concerned about the nature of that evidence and what it means. So one reason why they're so technological in their orientation is that they want to get something that they can present, say, to the public and have the public understand it, appreciate it, maybe begin to help them understand it better. But they're not the people who, the first thing that happens, they just think, oh, well, there's a ghost.
Right.
I don't know any paranormal researcher who will, like, point and say, that's a ghost, not a serious one. You know, there are some people who are just starting out who get very excited. Oh, this is great. I'm finding ghosts or whatever. But most of the people that I've been working with are people who've been working in the field for a long time. And they've seen too much and heard too much and also understood too little to feel that they absolutely can tell you whether there are spirits, what the spirits mean, what's going on with paranormal research.
How have the stereotypes of paranormal investigations on TV or movies or popular media helped or not helped this field of study?
Now, again, the audience may be surprised to learn that the paranormal researchers themselves really, really, really think it's a bad thing. That there's so much exposure of paranormal research on television, in the movies, and in other popular media. And they think it's a bad thing because they think it pulls a lot of people into the field who are what we might call wannabes, who just come in because they think, I'm going to become a celebrity. I'm going to become famous. I'm going to be on TV. And serious paranormal researchers have been, as it were, in the trenches since the 1970s, and most of them are not really interested in that kind of celebrity. It doesn't mean they'd say no if a TV show offered itself to them or whatever. But what it does mean is that they would rather have something more real. One of the sort of strange side effects of this project for me is that I came in, you know, I really liked Ghost Hunters, Jason and Grant. I thought that was very cool. And I thought, are there really people who do things like that? That's how I even decided to start the project. Now I can't watch those shows. And most of truly serious paranormal researchers that I know have a hard time watching the shows as well because it just elides over all of the hard work of it.
Right.
There's a lot of sitting. One of my friends says, look, what we do, it's boring. We sit in the dark and we listen to nothing. And sitting in the dark and listening to nothing is not as attractive as what goes on in the TV shows.
Well, and the TV shows are edited to fit a 60-minute window.
And now they're very aware of that. But, you know, many of them, when they start out, they also get very engaged by the television shows. And they think, my life is going to be like that. A lot of people then become very disenchanted when they realize that it's going to be sitting in the dark in a listening to nothing. And so they, you know, they fall out. And most of the paranormal researchers that I know who've worked over a long period of time, they don't fall out. They've stayed with it. And they feel nothing but not contempt. They feel a sort of dispassion towards the people who do that, because they think, well, they were never serious in the first place. They weren't really mm-hmm. people who were trying to do this work. And they want to do the work of it. They understand it as work.
You can't paint anybody with a broad brush, be it the people of Appalachia or people who are paranormal researchers. But and I don't know if you even find this out about the people that you research, but do many of them come from a background of faith? Do many of them, or is it just like the general population?
Most of my research has been done in the state of Pennsylvania. Like I said, I got started as a project for undergraduates in my university, my college, which is Franklin and Marshall College. So my idea there was, here's something that's happening around here that we can investigate. And most of the Pennsylvania paranormal researchers, some of them have very strong backgrounds in the Catholic mm-hmm. religion. Right. Others have very strong backgrounds in Protestant religion, and some come from a very non-denominational, non-Christian even background. But most people are what we would call a white and middle class or aspiring middle class. They're working class people who aspire to be middle class. But a lot of the people I've talked to have college degrees. A lot of the people I talk to are in sort of professional or paraprofessional fields. So I think that they're aspiring middle class people who just haven't quite made it out of the working class, even though they've got some of the cultural capital that should take them there. So for me, as an anthropologist, one of the things I'm really interested in is not what they believed in the past so much as what they practice today. Mm-hmm. And what they practice today is an interesting form of something that's been practiced for a very, very long time in human history, which is a desire to speak with spirits. Right. What's different and new is that they use things like these microphones here to do it.
You know, before Harry Houdini, but of course Harry Houdini was a grand debunker of people. There has been, it seems like, well, more than two, but two distinct groups. People who want to talk to spirits and then people who are pretty hardcore skeptics. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you what you think necessarily, but has your place on the spectrum changed at all since this project?
I'm not a believer in anything, frankly. I'm an anthropologist, and that means I question all things human. So I'm not a believer in that sense. However, I am an experiencer, just like all human beings are experiencers. And one of the things that's happened, which was an interesting side product again for me, was that I experienced things. Some of the things that my colleagues in the field experience, I have experienced them. And a lot of this happened like from the very first time I went out on a ghost hunt, as you might call it, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to tell them that I'm the one who's getting the cold chills? Right. And am I going to tell them that I'm the one who's having some kind of a strange, like, cold wind go around my hands? Or am I going to sit back and I'm just going to pretend it's not happening to me and observe what everyone is doing? And I took the plunge that day and said, no, you know, what anthropologists do is we own up to it. So I owned up to it. And then I had the interesting experience of having all the equipment sort of turned towards me and everyone. I became the center of their investigation. And I would say, in general, that has been the best strategy. If I had just backed back and said, I won't admit to any feelings or experiences or bodily sort of experiences, which is something they're very interested in, then I would have gotten some of the story. But I don't think I would have gotten very far in the end. The fact that I am willing to put myself out there with the paranormal researchers generally has meant that I get some respect from them, and I respect them more because I know something of what they're experiencing, only something. I'm not sure I always agree with all their theories, but they themselves say that these are theories and not established fact.
Okay.
Ghost tourism is certainly a different thing from paranormal research. But so many people are attracted to it. The Crescent Hotel has been doing it for a long time. You go to New Orleans and you can have a haunted tour almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. What does that say about us anthropologically? I mean, we are interested, be we skeptics or no, we are interested in what could be out there.
Mm-hmm. I think human beings like what gives us a little sensation, right? I mean, it's a sensationalist thing. I can tell you from the point of view of business, right, mm-hmm. that one thing that's happened with ghost tourism is these are often extensions of walking tours in historic districts that people have already established. And what the business people learned was they can now double their money because they can have nighttime tours as well as daytime tours. Previously, all these walking tours were daytime tours. With a ghost tour, you just add some ghost stories, stir, and walk people around a district at night. Voila. Double your income. There's actually a great tour in Washington, D.C. It surprised me what a good tour it was. It just takes you around one square, which is the square by the White House. But by the time you get to the White House, they have pretty much scared you silly with all the stories of ghosts all around the square. So it's one square, but it is one of the best tours that I've been on because it really gives a sense of there's just so much history here. A lot of ghost tours are history tours plus. A little scary.